Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. It's the Bull and the Fox with you on the Fan. 6 days until opening day in Seattle for the Indians. 2 weeks from today, the Indians will open, hopefully. Although the weather, the early forecast, I know it's 2 weeks away, does not look great. Although it is supposed to be sunny, I guess, but like 40 degrees. Hopefully that'll improve. This 40 degrees sucks for opening day, but it'll be crazy downtown, as we know. Jordan Bastian of MLB.com covers the Tribe, of course. He's in Arizona, where the Indians will play tonight. Down the stretch, we come here. Jordan, get ready to be back in the cold weather here soon. Well, you're going to Seattle, I guess. So,
yeah, I'll be going to the West Coast, but yeah. Six more days is a welcome sound to my ears. I can only take so many more meals at Raul and Teresa's.
But that's good food. That's not bad.
We love Raul and Teresa's.
It's great.
Have you been to Pizzeria Bianco?
No, but I've been to a few other places throughout my nearly 7 weeks out here. I'm ready for the season to start, just like all Indians fans.
Yeah, I think we all are. Can't wait for it. And let's talk about what's coming down here in these final roster decisions. We know there were three guys that were out of options, and Eric Gonzalez and Giovanni Urshela and Ryan Merritt. So Gonzalez makes the team, Urshela, DL. What's the deal with Merritt?
We'll find out maybe today. I'm heading over to the complex now. We're going to have a sit-down with Terry Francona here in a little bit because of the night game. The schedule is a little different today. But he said there should be news on Merritt today and then potentially news. So I guess there would have to be news with Matt Belisle and Carlos Torres for that final bullpen spot coming tomorrow. So those are kind of the last moves. Rob Refsnyder and Tyler Naquin were told to sort of sit tight as they figure out whether or not Michael Brantley will be ready for opening day. That'll impact their potential status for the roster. But they kind of found a workaround. Giovanni Urshela's hamstring issue does not seem to be serious, but it at least allows them to delay that situation where both guys were out of options and the Indians could have potentially lost one, which is kind of an important layer of depth for them. So they get to maintain that for a little bit longer until Urshela is ready to be activated.
Hey, Jordan, you know, it was interesting. They cut Mike Napoli. He signs a minor league deal.
Well, not yet.
We assume he's going to sign a minor league contract. And Rajay makes the team. What do you make of all that? And could Napoli at some point maybe come back, especially if he signs and goes to Columbus or whatnot?
Yeah, the release and re-sign is more of a paperwork technicality. Under the original contract he signed, because he qualifies as as an XXP free agent, he would have been eligible for a retention bonus and a certain opt-out clause, and that was kind of never their intention when they brought him in. So what they wanted to do was release and re-sign to sort of reset the terms of the minor league deal. And like I said, it's just kind of a paperwork move, but they let all the other teams know, hey, he's going to be released and re-signed. And, you know, if anyone wants to jump in and potentially offer him a job, you know, that's the outcome that the Indians would love to see Napoli get an MLB opportunity. They brought him into camp this spring to kind of get him out of that camp jobless, as it was called, in Bradenton, Florida, where media and scouts were having a tough time getting in there to watch guys work out, the unsigned free agents. So this way, Napoli could have gotten camp. He was around his old teammates, around his old coaches, you know, veteran presence for the young guys. And also, you know, media and scouts can all get a good look at him. So that was sort of the favor that they did Napoli, knowing that barring an injury to Yonder Alonso or Edwin Encarnacion, there really wasn't going to be a place for him on the opening day roster. And that remains the case. So now the discussion is, if there's no MLB opportunity for him elsewhere, you know, is he willing to go to AAA, keep playing, and see if another opportunity comes up, or just providing a layer of depth and and a veteran voice for that AAA team. And then with Raj, it was a little different. They brought him back knowing fully well that he could contend for a spot in the outfield. It was sort of viewed as him against Melvin Upton Jr., and Rajay's speed was undeniable this spring. You know, you look at the stat line, and you know, maybe it doesn't jump out in terms of the offense, but when you watched him run, you could still see how he can impact the game in that way, whether he's starting some of the time or whether he's coming off the bench. You know, this is a guy who doesn't seem to be slowing down as he gets older, and that's an element that was kind of lacking for most of last year, especially before Bradley Zimmer came up and kind of helped improve that area of the team.
It is going to be interesting to see if Napoli hangs it up, because there's no way he's getting a major league job. I mean, Jason Wirth, Matt Holliday, Jose Bautista, Mark Reynolds are all guys that could be that, you know, DH first base role. I know Wirth has been an outfielder, but, you know, and those guys are all probably better than Napoli, and they don't have jobs. So I don't think there's any chance somebody signed him to a major league contract.
Yeah, and I think that's the conversation that Tito's kind of having behind the scenes with Napoli. Yep. Like, you know, don't necessarily let the league make the decision for you. Make your decision. You know, remember, you know, he's kind of reminded Napoli to have fun this spring and, you know, remember, you know, just to go out there and enjoy the game that he's played for, you know, 12-plus years in the big leagues, I believe. So, again, if the MLB opportunity doesn't present itself, it then becomes, will Napoli go to the minors? And one of the first things Napoli said to the Indians, according to Francona, was, hey, I don't want to get in the way of playing time for one of your prospects. So, you know, that's a very, you know, he's cognizant of the situation, and he doesn't want to be sort of given a favor if it's going to get in the way of somebody else that actually is going to have a future with the team. You know, think of a guy like Bobby Bradley. You know, right. Where is he going to start the season? Things like that. So, again, I think these are going to be the discussions Napoli has over the next couple of days as he sort of weighs his options. And, hey, if he goes to AAA and something, heaven forbid, happens to Edwin or happens to Yonder Alonso, you've got that guy who isn't what he was a couple of years ago, but at least he's a veteran, he's got experience, and you're not thrusting a rookie kid up to the big leagues and putting him in a situation like that.
Jordan Bastian with us. You know, Jordan, we heard a clip from Tito talking, I think it was yesterday, about Michael Brantley, and, you know, they're happy with him. He has the home run, and, you know, they're basically saying, hey, look, we're not rushing him back. There's no sense of urgency here with him. I'm curious what you think they're going to do with him in terms of when he gets back to being 100% and back on the field.
I mean, when you look at the schedule, you look at when he made his debut, you look at what he's been doing all spring, to me, it still looks realistic that he could break with the team. Feels very similar to last year in terms of the timing. Hey, 2 years ago, we all got excited when he made his Cactus League debut and he hit a home run, and then he played in 11 games in the regular season. So you do want to temper the enthusiasm over one gorgeous spring training swing. But the difference this spring compared to the last two is in the last two, it was the hitting that was delayed for Brantley. You know, he had to ramp up the hitting program late in camp and try and get ready for the season. 2 years ago, he couldn't get ready in time and then barely played in the regular season. Last year, he was able to get back in time for the season and was an all-star until the ankle injury presented itself. The difference this spring is he's been hitting unrestricted all spring. It's been the running and the outfield-specific work that's been slowly added to the program. So when they threw him out there in the Cactus League game the other night, this wasn't a case of, hey, this is like the first pitching he's seen this spring. Let's see what he can do. This is a guy who's been hitting all spring in the cage and BP, in simulated games and minor league games. It's just the time on his feet that he has to get sort of used to. But, you know, maybe they can guard against that with some days off early on. Maybe he can be a DH here and there if the lineup makes sense to sit Yonder or something like that. You know, so there are ways they can kind of manipulate this where he could potentially start the season. There's, you know, off days early on in the year to kind of build in to help out. As we sit here right now, I think there's still a chance he breaks with the team.
We're talking with Jordan Bastian, MLB.com. Just told you there, he thinks it's a chance. Michael Brantley will break camp with the Indians on opening day. One guy who won't, Jordan, is Danny Salazar. Well, I know he was scheduled to throw this week. What's the latest on that, and what do you think the game plan is? You know, if Clevinger pitches well, we know Terry loves Josh Tomlin. Like, what's the game plan for Salazar going to be when he is healthy?
Yeah, that'll be interesting because if you go with the all things being equal, no injuries, everyone's producing scenario, which, you know, in baseball always happens to be the case. You can't predict what's going to happen. But I think the way they've positioned themselves is when he is able to start, you know, it's going to depend on what's going on at that time. If somebody's banged up, if Clevinger or Tomlin are not pitching well, you know, if Tomlin's not pitching well when Salazar's ready, does he go to the bullpen? If Clevinger's not pitching well, you know, he's got options, you know, would you send him down? Maybe there's an injury and Salazar's timing of the DL, he can come off and plug that spot. You just don't know what the situation is going to be. But if all things were being equal, that will be a very interesting debate. You know, do you take somebody out of the rotation in favor of Salazar, or do you maybe go with Salazar as a relief weapon? You know, we discussed that with Tito this spring, and he said one of the sort of hurdles there with Danny is they feel that he operates really well when he's on a routine and a schedule, and that's not something you can really offer in a relief role. You know, you can't say, all right, Salazar is going to pitch in the games on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like, that doesn't work during the regular season of Major League Baseball. You could maybe do that in the spring, but you can't do that in the season. So, again, if everyone's pitching well and Danny's ready to come off the DL, that is going to be an interesting debate for the team. But at least right now, because you look at the depth of the rotation, and if there were one or two setbacks, that the depth behind that Major League group is pretty thin to start off the year. At least having Salazar building up towards that is kind of a nice layer to have there ready, lying in the weeds. And we haven't talked to him yet today, but he was supposed to go off a mound for the first time yesterday, and it would have been his first time off a mound since the playoffs.
Jordan, you see them doing catcher by committee, or will there be a clear starter between Yan and Perez?
I think it's going to start off as a timeshare. And if you want to read the tea leaves of the last 2 months and the postseason, Roberto Perez looks like he'd probably get more innings than Gomes to start off the year. When you look at some of the advanced catching numbers, that you can kind of back up that approach and the success of the team from the winning streak through leading up to the playoffs. You know, so I think it's sort of going to be a 1A, 1B type situation. And maybe the play of both catchers kind of dictates how Francona treats it for the duration of the season. But I think starting off, my guess would be Perez gets slightly more innings with the idea of seeing which guy then makes the most sense to continue to lean on more.
Does Nick Goody get the first crack at the Brian Shaw role?
I don't think it's going to be one guy. Okay. I think this actually frees Francona up a little bit. You know, where Shaw was the guy to bridge the gap, I think now he can really look at what segment of the lineup is coming up, what inning is it, what's the situation, what's the score, and go with who makes more sense rather than Brian Shaw's our guy for this inning. You know, so I actually like the setup going in where Goody can be pretty effective against righties, McAllister as well. You've got Olsen against lefties, Miller. You need a ground ball. You could throw Otero in there in that situation. I kind of like this situation where you can mix and match a little more rather than being pigeonholed into Brian Shaw's our setup guy. And that should be music to Dustin's ears there.
That's right.
Absolutely.
He's done. Done with Shaw.
Hashtag with Shaw. Shaw, period.
Hey,
get out of here.
Shaw did a great job as an Indian.
How many home runs is he going to give up this year in Colorado?
A million?
Is a million fair?
Jordan, as much as I defended Shaw, and I defended him a lot, and the fans were ridiculous with him, I actually think it was a good move to let him walk at this point. I think the best of him is behind us, probably.
It's so rare to have a reliever who logs that many innings and that many games for that many years in a row. The expiration date is coming up at some point,
yes.
And I think it made a lot of sense. I mean, there was worth in his durability, whether or not you want to argue the results from time to time or the diminished success, you know, in more recent years, there was value in the durability, and that will be missed. The fact that guys, he could bounce back like that. But you know, no, you're right. I thought it made a lot of sense for him to take a contract because it's going to be like Cody Allen going into free agency. It's rare that a guy as a reliever can get to that point and get that type of deal.
That's right. Last thing, Rob Refsnyder yesterday hit a ball in like the cap. There's like a little. If you didn't see it, folks, in the center field wall. There's like this tiny little hole where I guess you put the home plate or the center field camera through the wall, and he somehow hit a ball that went right through that hole. Does he get? Is that like a hole in one? Did he get a bonus from his teammates? What happened there?
Oh man, it was incredible. We didn't get a chance to talk to Rob, but we talked to Tito after the game, and he said he should play the lottery.
Yeah, really.
After that shot, I mean, that was pretty crazy. Kind of fitting in a way, because I think when camp opened, maybe you thought it was a one in a million chance that Rob Refsnyder would be
true
on the opening day roster.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here; he's one of the last couple guys left for that spot. He's an interesting guy. They kind of maybe view him sort of like a Brandon Guyer. If Brandon Guyer, who we haven't even talked about, you know, can't make it back for opening day, Refsnyder kind of fits that sort of profile. But that was amazing. We were all scrambling to see if there was a video. Unfortunately, the Brewer, the other team,
yeah,
the other team had video that they were able to capture, Padres, and that was pretty cool to see, because for a minute we didn't think there was footage of it, and we were happy the fans were able to see it because it was really incredible.
All right, get to Pizzeria Bianco, Jordan. Trust me, go there before you leave Arizona.
I'll check it out.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Jordan. Bastian, MLB.com, covering the Tribe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.